So, well, good morning.
Good morning.
So yesterday, Sandy and I, we went to the zoo, the National Zoo. It was our grandson's third birthday. And so we all went there. We'd never been there before. And while it was a really good time, there was a tragedy. I wandered into the bear pavilion, and there I was mauled and attacked by a black bear, horribly injured. And yet, for the first time that day, I got warm. So, figure it all worked out. The song that we that Robert led prior to this lesson is really the theme of the lesson itself. Joy to the world. The song was written by Isaac Watts 300 years ago. And we think of it as a Christmas song, but if you look at the words, it really barely talks about the birth of Jesus at all. And the song is centered on Psalms 98. And so it's a beautiful song that brings us back not only to this season of joy, but also to the specific nature of what it is to experience joy in Christ. Because let's face it, Christmas can be a really stressful time for us adults. Some people experience intense loneliness at the loss of a loved one. Even at its best, Christmas means presents to buy and parties to plan, gifts to wrap, meals to prepare. Some take long trips, some just drive across town, but none of it is done without some effort and some stress. But what we receive on this day is joy. You don't need to turn to this passage, nor do we have it in our file so you can see it on the screen above me. I kind of want you to just hear these words. Just hear these words. And there were shepherds living out in their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Great joy for all the people. Why would that be? Because today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and He's the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great cloud of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Isn't it? Joy to the world. We need to remember who is responsible for this whole Christmas thing. It is known that it is the love of God that has been shared to all people, according to John 3:16. For He loved this world enough to give His, God loved this world enough to give His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him shall have everlasting life. It's a marvelous gift on this time of giving. I think last week we talked about the date and the time and all of that, and the supposed controversy. I don't think it's a controversy at all. Believe that it's the 25th or don't. I love you anyway. Makes no difference. to me. But if you somehow believe that Christmas was an attempt to mimic the pagan holiday that was going on during that very same time, I think you're going to have to research that a little bit. The festival in Rome was called something very different than what we would talk about as Christmas. This festival was brought about on the 23rd of December, and it was called Saturnalia. Saturnalia was a week-long period of lawlessness celebrated from the 17th of December to the 25th. During this time, all Roman courts were closed, and two people were picked in the empire, a man and a woman. They were designated by the Roman Senate to be an enemy of the Roman people. Just random people living their lives were picked, thrown into prison, condemned as enemies of the state, and were called the Lord of Misrule. Each Roman community selected their victim, and they were forced to indulge in over-rich food and other physical pleasures during this seven-day period. And at the festival's conclusion on December the 25th, Roman authorities would take them both and kill them as a sacrifice for the upcoming year. In contrast to that, what we know to be a Christmas celebrated on the 25th first occurred in 336 during the time of Roman Emperor Constantine. He was the first Christian Roman emperor. A few years later, Pope Julius I officially declared that the birth of Jesus would be celebrated on the 25th of December. And these early Christmases were celebrated with mixed results. Mixed results for a period of time. So whenever you celebrate Christmas, I want you to remember that this is a God thing. That this is a God thing, that Jesus was born. Whatever that date may be is irrelevant. Around 2,000 years ago, God gave His Son, and His Son was born. He lived and He prayed. He did miracles. And then He sacrificed His life upon a cross. All of these things happened because there was a Christmas. Now, joy to the world. Everybody wants happiness. In fact, it would appear that most of us work these 9-to-5 jobs so that we can get happiness. We want to have financial security. We insure ourselves, our cars, our lives, our furniture, our jewelry, our health, our death. We want to buy that burial plot in case there is no place to put us when we die. We do a lot to secure our happiness, but happiness is a fickle thing, isn't it? Happiness is a fickle thing. You can crave the right food, you can exercise, and you can get all the rest that you need. But there's something missing when you don't have joy. Because joy is better than happiness. Because joy doesn't rely upon circumstance. Things don't have to be working out for you still to have joy. Joy is something that comes from God, not from happenstance. You don't have to wake up in a good mood to experience joy. You see, happiness deals with what's happening. Happiness depends on circumstances. And happiness by itself is a little hollow anyway, isn't it? Some of us experience brief moments of true happiness, only to break up the boredom of regular life. Got to be more than that. Genuine joy, on the other hand, does not depend on what's happening. Joy is an inner sense of well-being that has nothing to do with circumstance. The kind of joy the Bible describes can't be found in possessions, entertainment, or even deeply looking inside of your own chakra, whatever that is. The first line of joy to the world sums it up. There's one reason and only one that we can find joy in this world. And as the song says, we can have joy because the Lord has come. The Lord has come. If you receive Christ as King into your life, He provides you with that joy. And in the same way that your body craves rest and food and water, so your spirit craves a relationship with God. We talked about it, Joe, during your class today, and that is, even those of us who were not raised in a Christian household still had a belief that God existed. We didn't even question it, and it wasn't because we were ever taught about it. It's just that that seemed reasonable. It seemed that whether religion was involved or not, God was taking care of us. And likewise, during the Christmas season, without knowing anything about Jesus at all, I was all for the whole manger thing. That all sounded good to me. My spirit craved a relationship with God. I'd have gone off with anybody to be part of their religion. Anybody. You could have a Hare Krishna in his peach-colored robes down at the airport, and I'd have been in there tinkling that bell and raising money. I'd have been a Jehovah Witness. I could have been a Mormon. I could have been any number of things because I didn't know anything about religion, but I certainly wanted to know something about Jesus. That story seemed too good not to be true. I had to have it. The joy that I felt during that time of my life was absolutely tied to God, even though I was yet to be a Christian. Joy to the world. The first stanza of our song indicates that there is joy when the King is received. What are these words in this first stanza? Say it with me. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world that comes from God. Now, there was great joy that came to the world, but at least one person was afraid of Jesus. And the fear of King Herod was so profound that he would not tolerate anybody even being called the King of the Jews. He was the King of the Jews. Rome had said so. And he was so manic about it, he is the king, King Herod himself, who murdered his three sons so that they would never accede to his throne. So paranoid was he that when he had heard from the Magi that something might be happening, his only response to that is kill every male baby 2 years and younger. I mean, what has to be going on inside of you to come up with that idea? And how beyond horrible it is for us to be imagining that happening. Mothers in the streets throwing themselves on their children to protect them from that inevitable sword happened during Christmas time. The second stanza teaches, there's joy when the Savior reigns. Say it with me. Joy to the earth The Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Receiving and obeying Christ is the important first step in all of our lives. We believe who He is, and acting upon that belief through faith, we are baptized into Christ, into water that holds our sin never to contact our bodies again. There's a lot of people today who are more than willing to receive all the good things at Christmas. They're willing to receive everything that Christ offers them, but they don't want Him to try to be the one who controls their lives. They say, I love you as the giver, but I can't buy it if you're the ruler of my life. They don't want Jesus to tell them where they can live or who they can date, or whether they should marry, or what kind of career they should have. If you try to receive Christ without letting Him reign in your lives, the one thing you'll never experience is joy. It's the one thing that is cut off from you. There comes a time, brothers and sisters, there comes a time when you have to give in to God, right? There comes a time when your back is broken and your will is shattered. There comes a time when you know you're not fooling anybody. Besides that, most of us do a pretty lousy job running our own lives anyway. I want to run my own life. Do you really? How's that worked out for you? How has that worked out for you? He knows the person that you are going to marry. He knows the moment of your death, and He's planning your life between those two points. He's the one qualified to bring joy to our lives. The third stanza. There's joy when the sinner repents. Do you have it in front of you? Can you see it? Red lettering? Say it with me. No more let sins and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow, far as the curse is found. You see, sin promises happiness, but sin delivers sorrow, great sorrow. Again, I'm a kid. Both my parents drank a lot. And because things had turned out so badly for our family, I thought that that wasn't a good idea, although I really couldn't have proved it, because I thought everybody drank like my family drank. I thought everybody did. And that was further reinforced by TV. The constant in our lives was football. We watched football on TV. And if you were to see the beer commercials, you would think that these people are having more fun than anybody else on the face of this earth. I used to watch those things and say, I cannot wait. I cannot wait. I mean, the girls are beautiful. There's a lot of laughter going on. There, people are jumping it up and down. They're hugging each other and rooting because their team's always winning. And I thought, 21 is the age. And so I got to be 21. My dad gave me $50 to go out and party, because I hadn't partied before. And I went out, and I didn't know where the party was. I went to several bars, but I didn't see any partying going on. Where are all the bright lights and the women? Where are all the people having a blast? You know what I saw? I saw dark places with people hunched over their beer. That's what I saw. I didn't see any party at all. I thought, well, I've got to somehow find the party. All those good times. I never did start drinking. It didn't seem like a party to me. Not the way I grew up. Sin promises a lot, doesn't it? Sin delivers nothing. Satan promised Adam and Eve that eating forbidden fruit would make them wise. Instead, a horrible curse came upon the whole world. That's what the song talks about when it says, "Far as the curse is found." Sin always brings a bitter curse. And there is joy. Outrageous joy. You want to know when the party is? You don't want to know where the party is? It's in heaven when a sinner repents. That's where the party is. Metanoeo means the changed mind and the changed direction of a Christian. For once in my life, I agree with God, and I want to do what He wants me to do. And I found joy in that. So I came across a story. It's a little bit long, but this, comparatively, is going to be a short sermon. You know, maybe. But what I want you to do is listen to the story. Would you do that? Okay? Everybody all right? I heard a story that illustrates this point in an interesting way. An author named Bret Hart wrote a story about the Wild West, and he called it The Luck of Roaring Camp. Roaring Camp was the meanest, toughest mining town in all the West. There were more murders and thefts there than any place around. And Roaring Camp was inhabited entirely by men, except for one woman who made her living the only way she knew how. Her name was Cherokee Sal. Eventually, Cherokee Sal became pregnant. And she gave birth to a baby. But she died during childbirth, and no one knew who the father might be, and the men put the baby girl in a box with some old rags under it. But as that baby was there in the middle of the bar, she could not be ignored, not for long. And the man began to notice that those rags just didn't seem appropriate for that beautiful little girl. They went out and decided to get a cradle made. One of the guys drove all the way out to Sacramento to pick up a rosewood cradle that they would place that baby in. And so they made they had the cradle made. They bought it, expensive. They brought it back, put it on the ground, took the baby, and dropped her down inside of this cradle. And they looked around and they said, well, this isn't going to work either. I mean, she needs more than just the wood. And they kind of slap each other and say, numbskull, how come you don't know how to take care of a baby? Well, do you know how to take care of a baby? No, I don't, but I can do better than that. And so they decided they needed blankets. So they went out to San Francisco and they bought the laciest, most beautiful blankets and sheets they could possibly find. And they made a bed inside of that cradle, and they put the little girl in there and realized that she needed some new clothes. And they bought some new clothes and they put it on that little girl that was in the middle of the party every single night. But it got so loud they began to wonder whether or not the baby could get any sleep. How's our baby going to get any sleep if we keep on being like this? So a strict curfew was placed inside of the roaring bar. And they began to have to act in a certain way. And they realized that when they got close to the baby, the baby seemingly didn't like all the yelling and hollering. And so they told each other to quiet down. And the place got very, very quiet, night in and night out. The guys would come down and they'd lean over, "Coochie-coo." And it would scare the baby. And the reason was they had hair going everywhere, beards hanging down into the thing. And they'd come up close and the baby would go, "Whoa! Is that?" So they shaved themselves up. And they got their hair cut. The floor was so filthy, they replaced the floor, put new planks down. And the little baby lived her life in the middle of a bar, like a rose growing in the middle of the desert. But when they went to work, it was hard to take care of the baby, so they took the baby to the mine. And they placed the baby outside and they realized this can't work. And so they allocated one of their people to lose a day's work to babysit the baby. And they realized it looked so terrible that they built an arch going over the entrance to the cave, and they filled it with flowers. And it looked better than it had ever had before. And they didn't want to scare the baby. And pretty soon the general store sold out of its soap and its shaving gear. The baby changed everything in this little town, and the baby changed the people of the town. God transformed their lives using a little baby. The last stanza of our song. "There is joy when the truth rules with grace. Oh, for a world within our lifetime that truth is wrapped in grace." We've been talking about this on Wednesday night. When truth is wrapped in grace, it resembles God Himself. What does this song say? What is this verse? Say it with me. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness and the wonders of His love. Joy to the world. Joy to the world. I have something I want you to say after I say it, okay? This joy that I have, the world didn't give me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give me. Say it loud. This joy that I have, the world didn't give me. This joy that I have, the world can't take it away. This joy that I have, the world can't take it away. Say it again. This joy that I have, the world can't take it away. Joy to the world, brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's stand up and sing.